If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Job. The book of Job in the Old Testament. Job has been classified probably as the first book ever written as part of the Scripture. It doesn't give you any particular time frame within it, but it is, by those that study things, they think it is the oldest book of the Bible. And certainly it is a good book, one of my favorite books to study, especially these verses that we'll look at tonight. And reading in verse number 1 of chapter 1. The Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 5,000 yoke of oxen, 5,000 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." Job is a man of high, we should certainly respect him very, very highly. Reading these verses tonight, you don't, on the outside, don't see a whole lot of things that that would make him different from others, maybe the way they should have been. But I believe you find in verse number 1 the description of Job that made him a very special individual in the day in which he lived. The Scripture says here that this man was perfect. That doesn't mean that he was without sin. Doesn't mean that he didn't have anything wrong with him in his personal life and his spiritual life, but that he was the word perfect there means he was full grown. He was an adult. He had an understanding in things of life. It says he was perfect and upright, one that feared God. And then the word there is eschewed evil, or he hated evil. And so therefore we find the personality of Job was a man that people could look to and realize that he was a man that had some spirituality about him even before there was a whole lot of things. Nothing else had been written, but yet he knew God and had a personal relationship with the Lord. Not only did he have a relationship, but he had some good finances, had a good family, and he was a fortunate man in his ability to do things. The Scripture says here that he was the greatest of all the men of the East, and it gives you a rundown here of what he, his sons and daughters. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters, and then also the sheep, the mules, the camels. All the oxen, everything that he had was a blessing that God had given him. But he cared more about his family than he did anything else, because as they went and feasted and fasted, here the Bible says, Job said, "My sons, my family may be sinned against God, so I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to offer sacrifice. I'm going to do for them. And if they have sinned and cursed God," Job said, "I'm going to be their intercessory." And the Scripture says he did that continually. And so that's a good introduction to the whole book of Job and the life of this man by the name of Job. But when you get to verse number 6, there's a change that takes place. And I'm not giving you anything here that you have not heard, and we have not gone over many, many times. But the Bible says there was a day. It doesn't tell us how long it was after he offered the sacrifice. It doesn't tell us anything about time frame of when it took place. But there was a day in Job's life that something definitely took place. You'll notice verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Those are the same words that God gives him in verse number 1. And we find here that the God of heaven, as he speaks to Satan, he says, Have you considered this man by the name of Job? And I want to look at tonight some things of what Satan, when he looked at him, when he considered him, what he found. I entitled the message tonight, Some Things That Satan Found at Job's House. And Job was a man of God. He was a man that loved the Lord, hated evil, and God had blessed him very, very much. But in these verses tonight, we find the Lord coming to Satan, and he says, Have you considered him? There's not a man on the earth like this man by the name of Job. And verse number 9 says, Then Satan answered the Lord, Doth Job fear God for naught? Is it for, there's a reason that God, or that Job fears the Lord. Does he do it just for nothing? He says in verse 10, Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. There's the accusation that the devil made against Job, this man that God said there's not a man like him living. He is a man that fears God, a man that loves God, a man that hates evil. And the devil comes along and says, Yeah, but you've built a hedge about it. You've done some things for him. And he said, If you take those things away, then he says, He will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. The devil has his orders now, his permission now, to go do whatever he wants to do to this man, Job. And Job, we hear much about his patience and his trials, and certainly he had had many trials, more than any of us in here tonight probably put together could. We could not come up with the amount of turmoil that had come into Job's life. And we'll read about those things in a few moments. But here the devil accuses God. He said, you've protected him in every way. If you put your hand against him, he'll curse you to your face. And you notice the Lord said, He's in your hand now. You do with him as you please, with his substance as you please, and just cannot touch his life. And so Satan went forth out of the presence of the Lord. Some things that the devil found in Job's house. We find that he had a hedge. The scripture says here that the devil says, You've built a hedge about him. Well, I'm glad tonight God does protect his own people. And sometimes he does build a hedge about us. He does it for his honor, for his glory, for his name's sake. And it was true that God had built this hedge. God had done these things for him. And he had a standing with God that he was perfect. He was an adult. He was mature. He loved God. He loved the things of God. He loved the very presence of the Lord. He wanted his children to serve God. He sacrificed for them. And so, therefore, Job had a standing with God, and God built him a hedge about his life. He had a sincerity. Job said the devil said he's sincere in his service, but it's because you've built this hedge. It's because you've done these things for him. He said, You tear him down, you put your hand against him, and he'll curse you to your face. And so Job, he had this hedge built around him, and the devil found out he could not penetrate it. He found out he could not get behind that and destroy this man by the name of Job, because he had the security of the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is thine, and it's in your power. Only upon himself put forth not thy hand." Job was secure in the hand of the Lord. Now the things that Job had, he learned they were temporal and temporary. And the devil did havoc in his life. But the devil, when he did that, he never did break the life of Job. He never did break the conscience of Job. Job stayed true to his Lord. And so the devil found out that in the house of Job, there was a hedge built that he could not penetrate. Now you'll notice here, the Bible says that he went out, the devil went out from the presence of the Lord. And so he found out in going from God and bringing about the havoc to his life, he found out, first of all, that he could not penetrate the hedge. He could not get behind what God had provided unto him. Now in verse number 13, we begin the story of what took place. Here the hedge has been built. The devil goes to attack him, and he attacks him very, very hard. Notice in verse number 13, there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. There came a messenger unto Job there and said, "The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Here we find that the devil begins his attack, and yet the heart of Job was never provoked to do evil against God. Satan launches an all-out assault on Job's house. He launched all assault out on the life of Job, his home, his family, his goods, everything that was dear to him. Here we find the devil is trying to break the will of Job, but yet he could not provoke his heart away from serving God. Job has some of the greatest testimony of any man in the Bible concerning his belief and trust in the Lord. We find here that Satan attempted to provoke his heart by defeating his servants. Verse number 15 says, "The Sabaeans fell upon them, took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped." Out of all of his servants, only one man left, and here he has lost all his servants. He has lost much of his oxen and the asses. They are feeding and they're gone. They fell upon them, took them away, and killed the servants. Now, in the time that Job lived, servants were very important to be able to maintain the farm life and the life that he had, and they're all gone. And his cattle and his things that he had, his oxen, are gone. He takes his goods away. But while that takes place, in verse number 16, while he was yet speaking, here's this servant that is telling Job, "You've lost your servants, I'm the only one left, you've lost your oxen, you've lost your asses, you've lost all those things, they've been stolen, taken away." While he's talking, verse number 16, there came another and said, "The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." So he tried to defeat Job by destroying his servants. Two places there, his servants are destroyed, and also of the substance that he had. So he tried to defeat him by his servants. He tried to defeat him by his substance. All that he had, the fire fell from heaven, consumed his sheep, consumed the servants, consumed all those around. This man says, "Only I'm left to tell you these things." Verse 18. It doesn't get any better. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, and this hit the heart of Job probably harder than anything. Here's a man that just a few verses back had it all. And now he hears this report. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee." The devil tried to defeat him by losing his servants, by losing his substance. And here he is trying to destroy him by destroying his seed, his sons, his daughters. The wind came. Where'd the wind come from? It came from the devil. He blew the wind at them. Of course, this is all under the permission of the Lord. And now his seed is being destroyed. What an absolute terrible day that one day was in Job's life. I've heard people say, well, that day will be a day that you'll never forget. Well, I'll guarantee you, this day with Job, he never forgot the problem, the turmoil, the tragedy that came upon him in one day. Here we find the heart of Job, and the Scripture tells us that the Bible in verse number 20, "Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, and he fell down to the ground." The next two words are very important. "And worshiped." The God that he believed and trusted, the God that had built that hedge about him, the God that had given him his servants, had given him the many things that he had, the substance that he owned, given him his children, the God that had given him all those things, now he bows to the ground. And the things that he does is a way of showing great turmoil and great grief. He rends his mantle that around his neck that was upon him. He tore it asunder. He shaved his head. And he fell down to the ground. If it had been me, it would have probably been he fell down to the ground and cried. But Job worshipped the Lord. I'll tell you what, the devil found out that he had a hedge that he couldn't penetrate. He found out that he had some things here that he could not provoke, had a heart that was right with God. Had an individual that he had called upon, and the Lord said, "Have you considered him?" And I'm sure Satan, when he left the presence of the Lord, said, "Yeah, I'll take care of him. I've said if you remove all those things from him, he'll curse you to your face." What does he do? He falls down to the ground and he worships God. He goes and he falls upon his face. Verse 21, and here's his prayer. "And said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave." Now he says, "And the Lord hath taken away." And in both instances, he says, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now I know me well enough that without the hand of God very strong in my life, I would not be able to say that. And I doubt many of us would be able to experience that type of feeling in our heart. But Job said, "I didn't have anything when I come to this world. The Lord gave me everything that I had. Now He's taken it away. So blessed be the name of the Lord." So the devil's learning now that Job can't be provoked. He didn't curse God. He didn't curse Him to His face. The devil's learned that he's got a hedge built around him. The hedge is removed, and he still doesn't curse God. The hedge has been broken down, and he's got behind it, and he's destroyed the life of Job. Job's life was destroyed, humanly speaking. He went from the greatest man of the East to the least of the men of the East in one day. This all happened one day, one 24-hour period of time. While he gets one word, he gets another. When he hears that, he hears another. And on it goes. And when it's all said and done, he's lost it all. It's just him and his wife that's left. And he worships God. He bows his heart. He goes down to the ground and he worships and he says, God gave it, God took it, blessed be the Lord. Job understood that everything he had was a gift of God. You and I tonight, everything we have is a gift from the Lord. Everything we own, everything we have in our possession, it's simply because God lets us have that. God gives it, and God's taking it away. And Job, I'm convinced that Job was not aware of the conversation that God and the devil had. Job did not know that this was an attack of the wicked one. Job said, God gave it, God has taken it. Well, God permitted it to be taken. And Job is under a trial and a test. Have you considered my servant? Oh, but he'll curse you to your face when you drop all the protection that he had. So he had a hedge that the devil could not penetrate. He had a heart that could not be provoked to do wicked and to do evil. Thirdly, he had a hope. He had a hope that could not be persuaded against his God. If you read from this point on, chapters 2 on through, you'll find his hope has been questioned. His life is questioned. And we read from these next, we're not going to read all those, of course, but in chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse 1 again, there was a day when the sons of God came. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And he gives him the same answer. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? None like him. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Talking about flesh now. Skin for skin. He says, let me take his family, you've let me take his possessions, but now let me get a hold of his life. Let me get a hold of his skin. Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. The devil says, he'll curse you when you let me have his flesh. Skin for skin. Verse 5. Put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand. Now what did he say earlier? All that he hath is in thy hand. Now he, speaking of Job, he is in thy hand. But then he says, save his life. Nothing befalls us, nothing comes to us that God doesn't know about. We think sometimes that God doesn't know what's going on in our life. He knows everything going on in our life. And some of it he may be permitting to happen in our life to train us and to teach us and to make us the type of person he wants us to be. He has the attack on his family in these verses that we read in chapter 1. In chapter 2, verse 4, where we just read, now he is going to be assaulted in his flesh. This flesh is pretty important to us. Skin for skin. The devil says, you let me have his body. You let me have him, and he'll curse you to your face. And so now the assault comes upon him in verse number 4. Notice verse 7. So went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a posterd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Now that instrument that Job took was something that they used to scrape off the dead skin from the flesh. It would be like a dull knife to us. And so Job is now afflicted. Everything's gone. Everything is destroyed. Children are no longer there, no longer living. And the devil comes once again, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Well, I'm sure the devil said, "Well, I've tried. I've done this to him. I've done that to him. The hedge I couldn't penetrate. I couldn't make him sin against you. He worshipped you." He said, "But skin for skin." He says, "You let me have his flesh. Because a man will give anything for his life." Verse 4. "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. You let me have him now, and I'll destroy his testimony." So he's had the attack on his family. He's had an attack on his goods. Now it's upon his flesh. And the Scripture says here that he has boils, sores, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He's nothing but a sore, running, putrefying mess. And he sits among the ashes. The ashes many times were used to comfort and to relieve some of the pain. And he scrapes it off and he puts it back on. He scrapes it off and he puts it back on. He scrapes it off. Skin for skin, he'll curse you, God. And so he has the assault on his flesh. So just him, no family, no fortune, just him and his wife. And now he's sick. Probably, more than likely, everybody around him probably thought he's going to die. His wife comes along and she says, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity?" Well, the answer to that question is yes, he did. Through all these things, he retained integrity. That's who he really was. Now, I'm sure the reputation had been marred. I'm sure folks had thought about, "My, Job must have a real problem in his life." By the way, that's what his friends said to him. And so he's lost his reputation, but he didn't lose his integrity. You don't lose your integrity. And his wife says, "Why don't you just curse God and die and be done with it?" And he said to her in verse 10, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speakest." Then he asked a one-word question. "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Skin for skin. Job has proved that he had a hope that the devil could not persuade him to curse God. He had that within him that made his personality to the point that God has given me this. God has taken this away. I'm not going to curse God. I'm not going to just roll over and die. He just says, "Do we not receive good?" And the word evil there means bad things. God doesn't send evil, wicked things to us. But sometimes bad things come our way. And so Here we find, I'm off. Here we find that Job retained his integrity, and everything was right between him and God. That wasn't right between him and his wife. It wasn't right between him and those around him. But he was right with God, and he retained his integrity. Now, beginning in chapter 2, verse 11. Now, when Job's three friends heard all this evil that was come to him, they came every one from his own place. He gives you their name. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They come from different places, but they're personal acquaintances. They're friends of this man by the name of Job. And they make accusation after accusation after accusation against Job. They say, Job, the reason you're in this problem is that there's a sin in your life. You know, there's a lot of times folks say, well, I wonder what they've done wrong. They're having so many problems. Sometimes it's not that. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes God does judge us and God does send havoc to us. But not every time, and we're not the ones to judge that. And here we find these three friends come and say, Job, you must be a wicked, wicked individual. I wouldn't want friends like that. When you're having difficulty, you need friends that will encourage you, not discourage you. You need people that'll back you up and people that'll help you. People that will encourage you. Those are real friends. These are three friends I would not want. And for many chapters, Satan uses Job's friends. See, I think this is still a part of Satan's activity against Job. He's destroyed what Job had. He's destroyed Job's life. He's destroyed Job's wife. Now he's come along, so I've got some friends. They'll encourage him to the point that he won't even want to live. And they come at him from every direction. I wish we had time to read some of the statements. These friends of Job, they come to take away his hope. But he had a hope that could not be persuaded against God. They said everything possible could be wrong with Job. You can read the chapters from chapter 2:11 all the way to the end of the book. But then there's a time in chapter 37 you have one of the friends that is talking against him. But chapter 38, things take a different turn. The book of Job, chapter number 38. 39, 40, and 41. If you have a Scofield Bible, it says up here, Jehovah and Job. Now all the other has been the discourse of Eliphaz and Bildad and all those other friends, what they had to say. In chapter 38, God speaks. And he makes some pretty good statements for Job. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? He says in verse number, these are some of the greatest verses in the Scripture about our God. He says in verse 4, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, and if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereon fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? God says, when the morning stars sang together and all the suns shouted for joy, where were you then? God is establishing Himself as the Almighty God. He says, where were you when they shut up the sea with the doors and break forth as if it had issued out of a womb? When I made the cloud that gathered the garment thereof, thick darkness, swaddling band for it, and break for it my decree place and set bars and doors. And God just continues to ask, where were you then? Who were you and where were you then? God is establishing Himself with Job. In chapter 39, He continues on. Chapter 40, He continues on. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, chapter 41, again, He talks to Job. It's God's speaking to Job. Chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord, I know that thou canst do everything and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hath counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I'll demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Job said, I've heard of you, but now I see you. Therefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. If there is anything in Job's life that is a drawback, I do not remember exactly where it is, but Job says that he was at ease. He had everything that he ever wanted. He had it all. And Job, about halfway through from chapter 2 to 42, about halfway through there, Job makes a statement that I was at ease in Zion. He had it easy. But all of a sudden, it's all taken away. And God said, Job, where were you when I did all these things? And Job said, when I've heard of you, but now I see you. And the Bible says that he repented in dust and ashes. In verse number 7 of chapter 42, and it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, now the scene changes again. The Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, I call him the termite. Eliphaz, he says to him, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pay for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the things which are right, like my servant Job. I'd rather heard the words of the Lord that Job heard than what these three friends heard from the mouth of God. He said, you go to Job, you take the bullocks, you take the ram, and you let Job sacrifice for you. You have spoken evil, he has spoken truth. So really it comes down to, it says in verse 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Here's these three that have belittled him, beguiled him, mocked him, made fun of him, accused him. And Job prays for his friends. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Where he had 3,000, he had 6. All those things that he lost, God doubled them in his life. And so he had a harvest. There was troubled time, there was a problem, but God gave him a harvest. You know what? The devil could not prevent that at all. He could not stop that. He said, you do, you take everything away from him, he'll curse you. Well, the devil took everything he had except one thing, integrity and faith in his God. And God said, now, Job, I'm going to repay you. So he has everything restored to him twofold. He has 10 more children. So I'd say God blessed Job abundantly. Not because that Job was a spectacular individual, but Job loved God, trusted God, honored God, and stayed true. It's an encouraging story. We all have friends like these friends, but we all have God like Job had. May God help us to have the integrity that Job had, that we will hate evil, wickedness. We want to serve God, love Him, live for Him. And when we do that, sometimes we open ourselves up. And sometimes the wicked one comes against us. But I like the end of the story of the book of Job. A lot of problems, a lot of heartache, a lot of tears, a lot of pain. But the devil found out he couldn't get behind his hedge. The devil found out he couldn't get in his heart. The devil found out he couldn't take his hope, even by his friends. And he found out God's going to give the harvest in the end. I'd say the devil found some good things in Job's house, in his home, that made him a pure, mature, perfect man, as the Scripture describes him in verse number 1. Let's stand together.